presumably, I mean, I'm aware that Steven is the creator, is yes. the designer of the game.
Yeah, and presumably the lead character as well, I guess. That's the guy.
Do we reckon it's Steven? Or do you reckon the lead character is a different Steven, like Steven Bartlett from the imagine? Diary of a CEO podcast? You're playing Steven Bartlett.
That would explain the tiny Huel he's carrying around with him. Become a Patreon supporter today to get access to exclusive bonus content. Comedian Glenn Moore and I discussing the game of the month that the listeners of My Perfect Console have been playing through. Head to patreon.com/myperfectconsole.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
My guest today is a Japanese musician and game designer, widely considered to be the inventor of rhythm action. Born in Osaka City, music ran in the family. His father often performed with his guitar in clubs around Shinagawa Station in Tokyo. My guest was an unruly student until he discovered a love of keyboards and synthesizers and found his people. In 1983, he formed Size, a progressive pop band fronted by singer Mami Yasunori, which soon signed to Sony Music. 10 studio albums followed, and in 1994, my guest secured a budget to create a Simon Says-style rhythm action game featuring an anthropomorphic rapping dog. Parappa the Rapper became an international hit and led to a series of follow-ups, the guitar-based Jamalami, the experimental Project Vib Ribbon, and Mojib Ribbon, a music game that played with calligraphic art. In recent years, my guest has retreated from video games, focusing again on his music and live events where he plays rare vinyl records, including tracks from the video games he has made. Welcome, Masaya Matsuda.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you for coming. How are you today?
I'm doing well. I'm making the small things today. I have an old grand piano.
Oh, you do? Nice.
In my living room. But My living room is having a very strong sunshine beam.
Uh-huh.
So to protect my nose gland, so I sewed the cover.
Yes.
Over the piano today. It's been almost 2 weeks or something.
So you've not been making music. You've been making, covers for your musical instruments.
Yes, but the end of last year, I had a small live show.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, so I was a little exhausted to touch my music things right now. But right. I will restart soon, I think.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. That's good. So it's nearly 28 years since the release of Parappa the Rapper. I can't believe it. So you've been playing music at these live events, records, and you've been playing some music from Parappa the Rapper. Which is your favorite piece of music from the game, the first game?
I don't have any certain favorite tracks for the game, but to boot up the PlayStation, insert the Parappa the Rapper disc.
Is it?
Maybe everybody had listened to the title screen songs with Parappa's chorus phrases.
You gotta do what?
I gotta believe!
That was the end of the game. The story part, we have no voiceover actors there. Just the Funny Love, title is Funny Love Song, is played.
Does it?
The Funny Love includes the Parappa's title chorus together. So for me, the Funny Love is a kind of a iconic Parappa's songs. But maybe many game players think Chop Chop Master Onion's songs will be a fast impact for the game, from the game.
Kick, punch, it's all in the mind. If you want to test me, I'm sure you'll find the things I'll teach ya, sure to beat ya. Nevertheless, you'll get a lesson from teacher. Now kick,
kick,
punch,
punch,
chop,
chop,
block,
block.
Once more now, kick,
kick,
punch,
punch,
chop,
chop,
and block,
block.
It's a little different from my music sense, personally.
Yeah, of course. So, yeah, Dad, let's talk about Chop Chop Onion Master, because that song is very famous, very memorable. Did it take you long to write?
I should not use the word write for that track.
Why?
That was a kind of a roundabout of the various kind of aspect of the production and creativity. So we have to think about the track from the gameplay.
Yeah.
Of course, the first stage gameplay should be the easiest one for more wider audience.
Yes.
So the simple words, repeat from the master, is a basic system of the very early basic system of the game. So, as you said, if we design the game like the Simon says,
okay,
so just the beep sound comes out, but it doesn't have more humanity things, right? So we thought more story-like parts, like Chop Chop Master is teaching Kung Fu to the young dog. So this kind of story parts was a very important one too.
Yeah.
And the third part is, of course, the game is based on the hip-hop music style. So we have to think the hip-hop sounds and the color to integrate all of them in a simple one-circle roundabout.
Right. Did you write all of the backing track for the song?
No. I worked with some other musicians together.
Okay. And Parappa, the The rapper who plays Parappa is an artist called Dread Fox. Huh. How long did it take you to find the right voice of Parappa? Did you try different people?
Yes. We worked tightly together with the scenario writer called Gavin Ito. He's currently he's a university teacher right now, but
okay, in Japan.
Yes, and the other guy was Ryu Watabe. He's a lyric writer, also the rapper as himself. And in the early stage of the game production, the old audio part was recorded by Ryu Watabe by himself.
I see.
Mm. But after the old pre-production has been done, we have to find a certain characters for the each role. So we tried to, we went to the New York City, and we did the auditions to find
the. I didn't know that.
And
how many people turned up?
I thought around 20 people or something like that.
Yeah. Okay.
And the one person scheduled to come up the schedule audition, but he didn't show up. So the we closed the audition sessions and back to the hotel.
Huh.
After then, the one person called us from outside. So he told us, so I couldn't join the audition sessions by having some private travel or something like that.
Right.
And I will try to do the audition right now by the phone.
On the phone?
On the phone. No. Yeah. And okay, so we tried to do that. And I loved that. It was a perfect match with story setup of the Parappa. And so we decided the Dread Fox for the Parappa's voice and character.
Right.
But at that time, we didn't meet. We never meet.
At that time. You never met?
Never met.
Because it was all on the phone.
Right. Yeah, that was funny.
No way. How have I never asked you about that? That's amazing. Oh my gosh.
But his voice on the phone was a perfect match on my image with the Parappa.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is kind of got, it's almost innocent, isn't it, in a way?
Right.
Parappa. It sounds quite young, but yeah, you can see he's like a young person trying to find his way in the world.
Right.
It feels like, doesn't it? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's good. So like you say, you know, obviously Parappa the Rapper is a hip-hop game, and today hip-hop is the most popular kind of music in the world everywhere. Mm-hmm. But in 1995, 1996, it's not so mainstream. Did you have any doubts that hip-hop was the right genre for this game?
I think in the early 90s, already hip-hop was big for some people, maybe.
Oh, it was big, yeah, but not like everywhere, like today, you know?
Right, but I'm not a hip-hop musician, but one very important point from my experience as a musician was I started my music career with a digital sampling machine. So it was called Fairlight CMI. Fairlight is a kind of an integrated, huge computer instrument.
Like a synthesizer with a CRT screen, isn't it?
Yes. But based on the sampling, not like a generative audio synthesis, like an analog synthesizer. So it was a completely different from the previous synthesizers things. So we tried to make good sound from the Fairlight sampling, but in many cases, we have many funny experience with the sampling machine. For example, changing the pitch of the sound. And especially the most funniest sampling technique is the sampling the human voice. So human voice sampling is the most funniest one. So like normal sound sounds like Darth Vader's voice by having a lower pitch, or chipmunk voice, like a higher pitch.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm. So these kind of demonstrations always make the audience laugh.
So you were doing this in live shows with your band?
No.
Okay.
No. For example, just having the client in our studios or some friends show up to the studio, that kind of situation.
I see, yeah.
Mm. So from the beginning, strongly I thought that using the sampled voice for the game is a very important fundamental function for the game. So it was a little different from the hip-hop aspect. But just sampling sound doesn't make a strong characteristic of the music style. So we decided to use a hip-hop music style by having the story background or Ryu Watabe's background, the various kind of reasons.
Yeah, it worked well. I see.
Hmm.
Right, Messiah, we better come to the premise of the podcast. So I've asked you to pick 5 video games that you would like to put on your perfect console. You have picked, we are stretching the definition of video games here, but I love it. I'm very excited to speak to you about these.
Sorry about this. I couldn't pick the 5 games. Just one will be kind of a game, but almost all of them are not
one
games.
One is kind of a game, but
sorry
yeah.
about that.
Well, yeah, game-ish. So.
Game-ish, yeah.
The first one is you've picked a screensaver, which is amazing.
Right.
So why don't you tell us about this? What's what is your first choice, Messiah?
When I was 20, maybe, or 19, kana, I tried to have Apple II computer, and finally I got one. So I tried boot up various kind of program or writing the program, but most attractive program for me from the beginning was the Kaleidoscope. Is a bundled from the Apple II system disc or something like that. Just the colored block is changing the shape slowly, so like that.
So it's when you it's like a normal screensaver kaleidoscope effect on the Apple II.
Actually, it's not a screensaver. At that time, we have no idea for the screensaver because. All the time, computer is crashing, or you don't have to save the screen. always the screen was saved.
Okay.
So, Kaleidoscope, it was just a program.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. Very, very simple program.
Yeah.
But I realized I really wanted to synchronize this Kaleidoscope graphic into my music together. So I tried to make the various kind of music to synchronize the kaleidoscope visuals together. And I tried to show some of my friend to discuss about the possibility to move forward by having this kind of ideas. But unfortunately, no one reacted. my ideas. So it was kind of a sad reaction, but soon after then, I got the another disc called Fire Organ.
Right.
Fire Organ is a kind of a same kind of a screensaver type of visual program, but a little more attractive one.
Okay.
So I tried to...
Wait, what is it? What does it look like?
It's, how can I say, the simple one that painted with a white color and making the some kind of shape.
Oh, I see. Drawing around the screen in circles and squares and things. I see. Okay.
Sometimes the shape looks like the concrete shapes sometimes, but almost all the time looks like a more...
just random?
Abstract type of shape comes up, but not simply random.
Yeah, yeah.
More designed something.
Okay.
So I love to and edit the parameter of the Fire Organ for a while.
And it's called Fire Organ. And you told me it was made by a Welsh programmer. Do you know who it was made by? I couldn't find any information on the internet.
I don't know, but...
How did you find out it was made by a Welsh man?
Oh, I worked with a Welsh guy for a long time.
Yes.
So he told me.
Oh, okay.
I see. That was the reason. So I didn't know that.
Okay, amazing. Okay, so Fire Organ. Right, let's come to your story then, Messiah. So you, as I said in the introduction, you grew up in Osaka City, and your dad was he worked at a shipping company, but he was an amateur musician. Do you remember him playing guitar in your house?
Yes, he had kind of the full acoustic type of guitar and slide type of guitar together.
Slide guitar. What was he? What kind of thing did he like to play? What kind of music?
With the full acoustic guitar, he played kind of old type of jazz. And with the slide guitar, he played the Hawaiian type of music.
Right. Okay. And were you tempted to have a go? Did you decide to pick up the guitar ever? Did he try and teach you?
No. One reason was I was lefty. I'm lefty.
I didn't know that.
He's not.
Yeah.
he's not. So he can't tell how to play with a lefty situation.
Okay. And so, when did you discover music? When was the first time when you tried playing music or making anything?
I don't remember exactly, but my mother loved to listen various kind of Western music. So I was living with all the Western music from my very first time. So I loved to listen to the various kind of record with the family. Then naturally, I started to think about to make something by myself. But maybe the first situation will be just singing something or something like that. But after the 10 years old around there, so I tried to play the keyboard, like organ, in the classroom. Maybe that was the first time. So I moved in Osaka prefecture from the Osaka city to some suburban place.
Suburbs. Yeah.
So I have lost all of my friends at the time, and I have no friend there. So I just sitting in the classroom all the time with no friends. But in the winter time, the female students making the line in the classroom and playing the organ for a few minutes for each person.
Okay.
And they have the various kind of ability. Sometimes someone doesn't have any ability to play organ, but some educated person teach the others how to play. And I just watched them from the outside of them. So
in the corner.
Yeah. But I realized maybe I can play. So one day...
Maybe you can teach the girls.
No. So one day, no girls was there. So I tried to play the organ. So I felt, oh, I can play that. So I started to play organ by myself and ask my parents to go to the piano teacher. That was the first time. Also, my piano teacher was a kind of a unique person. I'm not a good student. I don't like the conservative old piano songs so much. So one day, I wrote the lyric of the song and played the completely different from the score. And I sing the song with a different background phrases. It's just a thing. My teacher was surprised to hear that.
Of course.
Okay, I think you are not a good student for the piano player. So I will change to teach the music in a different way.
Okay.
So after then, he tried to play unknown song, and I have to write his playing in the score.
Oh, right.
In the real time, for example. So this kind of training makes me a very strong relation with the music creation.
A good teacher. What was your teacher called? We should give him some praise.
Mr. Yamaguchi-san.
Yamaguchi.
Yamaguchi is also one day he took me to the bar or somewhere. He played a piano in the nighttime. So I listened to his piano playing in the bar for a while.
Wow.
So this kind of experience makes me how the real musician
yes.
should live in the world.
Oh, amazing.
That was very interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. Did Mr. Yamaguchi ever know that you became a professional musician?
I don't know. We don't have any relation.
No relationship. Oh. Right, Masaya, let's come to your second game then. So this is...
not a game.
Not a
Sorry.
Game. This one's definitely not a game, but I'm excited to hear about it. So this is some Adobe software. tell us about this.
Okay, the second one is Adobe Illustrator.
Is this?
Yes. Illustrator, from the beginning, they didn't use the version name. They used the year name.
Right.
So this software was introduced by my friend to make some paper design with postcard or some printed materials or something like that. So I thought it is not friendly interface for the computer graphic user, because before the Illustrator, we did was just paint the screen by using some interface or tools. But I was shocked to use the Illustrator to know the Illustrator doesn't have any screen resolution.
Right.
It's a kind of an infinite space or resolution. So I love that idea because I already debuted as a band, and of course every day I used the sampled sound or synthesizer sound, but all of the digital audio has a concrete sampling rate or sampling bit rate, so we can't hide away from that. But the in the graphic world, Illustrator allows the user to have the infinite freedom, I would say, for the resolution problem. So I really love that. So I tried to make some postcard design for the fan club people, or something like that.
This is for the size fan club.
Yeah.
See.
So I really love that. And finally, I put the final, I forgot the certain one, but some record jacket or something to the Sony Music, the printing division's people.
Oh, yes.
Maybe I was the first one did that.
Really?
For the Sony, I think. Yeah.
So you designed the cover and then sent it to Sony Music and then they they created it. I see. Wow.
But they really hate that.
Yes, of course. That's someone's job is to design that. So
right. So many times they rejected my design already outputted film for the CMYK colors things. So that was funny.
That's very funny.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
We'll be getting back to Messiah in a moment, but just before we do, I wanted to tell you about a podcast that I have been greatly enjoying recently. It is called Next Lander. It is a video game podcast from three friends, Vinny Carvella, Brad Shoemaker, and Alex Navarro. You may recognize those names from outlets such as Giant Bomb and GameSpot. And Alex as well worked with Harmonix, the studio behind Guitar Hero and Rock Band, of course relevant to this week's episode of My Perfect Console. The three of them have more than 60 years of combined experience covering video games, and at Nextlander, they chat about the games that they have been enjoying, as well as the big news stories of the day. Discovery can be tricky these days. It can be hard to know which video games you should be playing, which ones you should be looking out for. And at Nextlander, they are very good at discussing not only the big titles of the moment, so they've recently been playing through Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, which I'm sure you're aware of, but also lesser known curios that are coming along. So Children of the Sun, they've been playing recently, A Little to the Left. And the three of them have just got really great insights and can give you a very clear sense, I think, of whether it's a game that you will be interested in playing or not. And as well, in the show, they discuss the news there. All three of them are very well informed and very well connected. And so if you want to know about the new Xbox, for example, that's coming down the highway, then it's a good place to hear about, you know, three very well informed and experienced people discussing the news stories of today and possibly the news stories of tomorrow as well. And as well, they just share about their sort of life with video games and what they've been doing. So recently, Brad has been working to take all of his video game saves off his old NES cartridges and Super Nintendo cartridges. And, you know, he sort of takes us along on that journey of what he's been up to. So Yeah, Nextlander. You can get it wherever you get your podcasts. Perhaps the best place to find it is at nextlander.com, however, where you can check out their Patreon, and you'll be able to get both audio and video podcasts ad-free there. So yeah, check it out, Nextlander. So yeah, tell me about Size. How did the band start? Was it? Did you start it or did you join it?
I started.
You started, so, yeah.
When I was third grade, I was a university student.
Yeah.
So I started to work with a local FM radio station's program. So this program was daily, weekday, evening, almost 2 hours show. Brought by the American disc jockey, female disc jockey. So all the program is the English, in English. So to follow the local user, sometimes requires translation or interpretation.
Uh-huh.
So we made some Japanese parts of the program, but sometimes I felt tired to make the things by having the many upcoming records and the artists. So I wanted to do my music in the program.
Right.
So the first one I made was pre-internet age.
Mm-hmm.
So still the broadcasting company accepted the postcard for the song request or something like that. So to announce the address of the broadcasting company, but the English pronunciation maybe sometimes doesn't understandable for the local listener.
I see.
So we made the song for the reading the address of the broadcasting company. Just the postal code, numbers, cities, town, and numbers, and station name, program name, like that.
Hi, I'm talking to Oza. Give it all you get to do now. Say, see you too with me now.
So that was the first track we made. So, and I really loved that. And everybody remember the phrase of the song, and the many postcards arrived by having this track. So this was the beginning. So we made more original things keep going. And finally, we made the Size demo tape.
I see.
A few years later.
Yeah. Very creative. It's in the early 1990s that you decide to start a software company, Nana Onsha, to make a piece of software for the Pippin, so the Macintosh computer console. And so, what did your friends think about you moving into software development? What did they think about you starting a company?
From the debut of the Size, that we have only the vinyl and the cassette, but at the fourth album, still CD and vinyl and cassette together. And the fifth album, the record company decided to stop the vinyl production.
Oh, I see.
So that was kind of sad for me, but to think this digital innovation positive, I try to learn the various kind of format or possibility by using the CD disc. So already the Sony had a various kind of specification by using the CD, not just the audio usage. So I started to think music should not be just a data, but a more generative one or interactive one by having the program. So maybe not so many people realized, but just CDDA, CD disk, still have the program in the CD player. CD player reads the table of contents in the at the beginning of the disk, and search or skip the track. But these kind of things allowed by the CD player's program will do that. But to expand these kind of ideas, we can do a more aggressive way to express the music by using the digital environment. So this was my first idea. So please remember playing the cassette tape with Apple II Kaleidoscope is kind of the same aspect.
Yes, I see.
So I started to make the program with friends. One important friend is Omori-san. Omori is Sai's, the recording engineer. So he programmed to calculate the BPM or something like that in the studio. So one day I tried to ask him to make the more music-oriented program. He agreed to me, and at that time we did the recording session for the Pingu.
The cartoon?
Yeah. So I had the chance to compose a Pingu theme song in the for the Japanese audience only. I got the Pingu's voiceover track from the original creator, and I chopped the Pingu's voice in various kind of situations and sampled and mixed them together by having my own track. Then we called that the Pingu Rap.
Pingu Rap, right.
Yeah. Then we released the Pingu Rap from the Sony Music at that time.
Right.
So recently, I remixed that, and that was funny, but... and Omori and me discussed the Pingu Rap should be loop part of the backtrack, the verse or chorus or interlude or introduction. That these tracks should be switchable. Tapping the key.
Is this tapping it on a CD player or on a keyboard, like a computer keyboard?
A computer.
Okay.
Computer.
Okay.
At this time, all the sound should be on the memory.
Yes. Right. I see. Yeah.
To be accessed timely, speedy, ne?
Like a soundboard that you get now on the internet. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
A soundboard where you hit the button and it plays a soundboard really quickly. Yeah.
Right. But user doesn't have to care about the timing. So each parts are always looping in a certain timing. So you don't have to tap the severe timing. And the Pingu parts is chopped into simple voice parts and also assigned to a key. To press by pressing to making the sound na na or oh like that, so by having this kind of environment, we got success to make the interactive version from the Pingu Rap. I felt this will be a big step for my music expression. So we decided to continue to expand this function and program with Omori-san for a while. And finally, one friend working for Apple introduced Pippin's project.
Yes.
And we pitched the tuning glue ideas for them without having the ping sounds.
Yes, of course.
Of course. So that finally tuning glue comes out.
I see. So it was like it's not really a game. It's like you say, more of a sampler toy, and you could mix and match different instruments and stuff.
Right.
But okay. I didn't realize Pingu is technically the first rhythm action game then. That's amazing.
Not a game, but kind of.
Yeah, okay. Maybe by your definition.
All right.
Let's come to the third game then, Messiah, because time moves on. So tell us about this one. This is from around that time, from 1991.
Uh-huh.
What is this game and why do you love it?
This is a Spaceship Warlock. Is for the Macintosh environment. After the Illustrator, another impact for me was the software called Director, made by Macromedia or Macromind at the time. The VideoWorks changed the Director, Macromind Director, and Macromedia Director, and maybe Director changed to Flash.
Shockwave Flash, yes.
Yeah, Shockwave Flash. So this is a kind of a long history, but Spaceship Warlock was a big impact for me. To use a CD environment can be controlled by the interactive input.
I see.
Also, the director can control the various kinds of script. So the Spaceship Warlock developer make the simple interaction, but finally they made it looks like the game.
I see.
Mm.
Yeah, amazing. Can you still play that on the internet?
No. Mm. So for me, it's a very important thing. Computer program is very good to support the future environment. So future environment always higher and greater. So it's very easy to suck the oldest program in the new environment. But almost all the case, the feeling of the motion or action always different from the original. I don't like that so much.
Okay.
I like the Spaceship Warlock works with a very slow CD-ROM reading machine is making the clock is working, yeah. Waiting to the next thing. So these kind of weird things is important.
Yeah, the old technology.
Right.
Let's come back to your story, Messiah. So Tuning Glue comes out, but unfortunately the Apple Bandai Pippin has already been discontinued by the time it comes out.
Right.
So then at what point do you have the idea for Parappa the Rapper? Where does that pop into your head?
Yes, the Parappa was started same kind of idea from the Pippin's case. We pitched maybe the Ping Rap or Tuning Glue thanks to Sony Computers people.
Because the PlayStation's just come out, the first PlayStation.
Right. Yeah. Mm. But I didn't know... to develop the PlayStation like game console requires very high preparation for the business things or development things. So I didn't feel any strong confidence to move forward to the game environment at the time. But Sony Computers people told me it's okay. You don't have to think strong game-oriented things, but some more interactive something, still okay. the PlayStation. So it was kind of pushed my back to the...
pushed you into it.
Yeah. Mm. But it was difficult time. So we worked together in Osaka City with various kind of computer-oriented people at the time. But the important parts of the people will not follow these kind of things. So they disbanded from our team. So we had to move to another place to keep going.
Because you were from a musician background and they were from a computing background, was it a bad match? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, I see.
So, but I really remember. Do you remember Howard Jones?
Howard Jones. Mm-hmm.
Howard Jones. Very early time of his career, he played alone. Mm.
As a solo artist.
In the live stage. Mm. Yeah. But he always worked with the dancer. The dancer was a bald guy and with a naked, almost naked costume and some abstract and weird dance with Howard Jones tracks, mm-hmm. I thought. So this kind of new combination is important key of the 80s culture, I think.
Yes.
So I really wanted to try to do a different type of background. People working together will make the new expression and
make something new.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. And how did you find Rodney Greenblatt? He's the artist who... and did the design for Parappa and all the characters. He's based in New York, so how did you meet?
Right. I have the two reasons. The one reason is that back to the Spacek Baroque story, the Rodney also released his own CD-ROM in the same time.
Right.
Almost the same time as that. At that time, Apple had Apple event, like the Tokyo Game Show kind of things. In maybe the same venue
in Tokyo.
Makuhari. Yeah. And one day I walked in the Macworld Mac event.
Uh-huh.
The Rodney is coming from the other side.
Oh.
And I talked to him. I tried to make something with you, your creation.
Nice.
So he said, oh, okay. I don't know. Of course, he didn't know me, of course. So... a few weeks or a few months later, we pitched the Pingrap or tuning things to Sony Computer. The Sony Computer guy recommended me to work with Rodney with this project.
I see.
Because Rodney had signed with the Sony Creative Product at that time.
He was designing characters for their products, wasn't he?
Right.
Yeah.
So already the Katie or Sunny Funny or PJ Berry, these kind of character already released from the Sony Creative Products things.
Right, I see. So they predated Parappa and you put them in the game.
Right.
Okay, but not Parappa. Parappa was a new design.
Right.
I see. Okay, well, I've got lots more to ask you about this, but we'd better come to your fourth game, Messiah. So this is another interactive album. Tell us about this one.
Okay, this is the Flow Phaser. Flow Phaser is the kind of a spiritual sequel from the fire organ in a decades later. So Frophaser was made by the Todd Rundgren, who's an American musician. The Frophaser makes me, it's kind of a simple programming screensaver type of graphics.
Uh-huh.
And no idea, no stories or no characters, no music. But this makes me think about the music strongly.
Hey.
I really loved the Frophaser so much. And also, almost at the same time, Todd Rundgren released, maybe almost no one knows, but he made the TRI.
Uh-huh.
TRI is a CD-ROM, but at that time we had CD-ROM format called CDI.
Yes.
CDI was a kind of a specific CD-ROM format, like later PlayStation.
Yeah, interactive CD. Mm. The I stands for interactive, yeah.
Right. And TRI was a TRI, No World Order is the title. It's also the similar with my Ping Rap ideas. The he made was various kind of short song parts. Maybe like sometimes the 16 bars or sometimes the 14 seconds or something like that. It seems the TRI disc includes more than 1,000 or something like that kind of music parts there.
Wow. Wow.
And the TRI program pick up the each tracks by having users feeling like chill or exciting or something like that. And they connect them together into in a certain timing, like the DJ does. So, I mean, the TRI, No World Order, is one disc. You can listen to infinitely by thinking about tracks or something like that.
Right, yeah, yeah. You mix and match to make an endless amount of music, basically.
Right.
Yeah.
So user doesn't know how many tracks are recorded into a disc. So that was a very interesting approach to provide the user can experience by a new presentation of the music.
Yeah, all of these choices are all about, you know, collaboration between the artist and the listener,
uh-huh.
You know, working together to create music. And that's also true with your games as well.
Mm.
I'm interested, have you ever taught music to someone before?
Sometimes I did for the younger staff in our company.
Oh, you did, yeah.
But very few cases. Very, very, very few.
Okay. Mm. Are you a good teacher?
Mm. No. No. Basically, I don't like to be taught from the teacher-like teacher. So, as I told you, the Yamaguchi-sensei, teacher Yamaguchi,
yes,
is not like the teacher-like teacher. Mm-hmm. So,
more playful, I suppose. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, interesting. I mean, I'm interested as well. So, I mean, Parappa and your other rhythm games as well. I was playing Rhyme Rider,
Kerorikan
on the Wonder Swan.
Mm.
It's a difficult game. The timing is very hard. It's exacting. How good were you at playing your own games?
I'm good.
Yeah.
But yeah, Rhyme Rider Kerorikan is kind of a spiritual sequel from Chunin Guru, I think. They use same tracks, same music tracks.
Same music. I didn't know that. Interesting. So, just coming back to Parappa for 1 minute. So the game comes out in 1996, and it goes on to sell millions of copies, but it takes a long time. It's a slow success. So at what point did you realize it was a hit?
Almost a year later.
1 year.
Or something like that. Yeah.
How did you find out?
It got over a million or something like that.
Sony told you? They send you a disc or something?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Sony always announced how the back order comes or something like that. like weekly information or something.
What did your bandmates in size think about this success, this game that you've made that's now world famous? Were they happy for you?
Yeah, but my 80s music career in the local activities in Japan, and after the 90s, the game activities more widely accepted is that kind of a two different situations for me. So sometimes I got confused these difference annoying me in small things.
Okay.
But it's a small things.
Yeah. Just before we come to your last game, I'd like to ask about Vib Ribbon, which is such an interesting game because I think it's, you know, it was a PlayStation game, the third music game you bring out for PlayStation. And it was different from the others in that users could open the PlayStation lid and they could put their own CD in and the game would create a level from the waveform of their music. So similar to your game choices here, you know, it's a really pioneering, creative way. But it started out in an unusual way. Can you tell us that story? It was, am I right in thinking it was a project for Mercedes-Benz, of all people?
Yeah. We got a chance to make the game for the Mercedes-Benz A-Class. It's the smallest one.
A small car.
Yeah. Maybe the Mercedes thought to make the game will be appeal to the younger people to buy the Mercedes.
I see.
Maybe. But it doesn't go well with the ideas from the beginning. So we gave up to do the project with the Mercedes.
They had a problem with the car, didn't they?
Yeah, in Japan, maybe in Japan, the Mercedes A-Class had a trouble by having a strong side wind and rolling.
It would fall over.
Roll over. And maybe you can easily imagine in the game, the characterized car is rolling or sideway or forward way or back way. These kind of things always happening in the game.
So in the original game, you played as the car?
Yeah.
Not as the rabbit, I see.
Right. So it doesn't go the joke. So we had to change the very fundamental ideas from the beginning.
So you made the car roll and you send that to Mercedes?
Yeah, but using the music track was the original idea.
Sure.
So the music makes the road bumpy.
Yes, like a waveform.
So the Mercedes, yeah. So the car is jumping or rolling or something like that.
They didn't want that. So amazing. Oh, great. Right, Masai, let's come to your, should we come to your fifth and your final game? I don't want to take up too much of your time. So,
all right.
This is, you already mentioned this earlier, actually, but it's a digital synthesizer. Tell us about it.
Yeah, it's a Fairlight CMY. So it's the one of the most strong impact for me to make the 80s or 90s my digital music career. So it's difficult to tell you in a simple way because the Fairlight is an integrated music production system, music creation system. So each tiny parts are the very important to inspire the music creator to make their own or original music or something. Yeah, maybe You can easily remember the one of the most well-known sample of the Fairlight track will be Art of Noise.
Mm-hmm. Art of Noise.
Art of Noise is the interesting band in the early 80s. Already, I used Fairlight to create my music, but everybody told me, oh, Fairlight, so you can make the Art of Noise kind of tracks for this project or something like that. So I was really tired to respond to this kind of request. But the one important thing is the Art of Noise, the name of the band, the noise is not just the noise atmosphere. It's the noise from the sampling aliasing noise. At that time, the Fairlight still the low bit rate sampling. So the, if we do the sampling, the always aliasing noise comes out. So the Art of Noise use this aliasing noise into a attractive one, not just a noise.
I see, right.
So this is a very important point. By having this, it almost looks impossible to reproduce the same kind of aliasing noise in an updated current machine.
Really? Okay. Do you still have a Fairlight? Do you still own one?
No. No. So, yeah, so it's all impossible.
Okay. So you can't, you have to have an original if you want to make that sound. You can't use software.
That's right.
Right, yeah.
That's
yeah.
Very important thing.
Okay.
And one more thing is the Art of Noise is accepted not just for a music lover, but more wider people like fashion designers or poet or TV productions people. Yeah, so these kind of painter, so these kind of wider creators are influenced by the Art of Noise music, I think.
Yeah. Mm.
So this means from, I told you already before, the working with different aspect people together makes a new creativity comes out.
Yes.
So the Art of Noise is one important trigger to think about the ideas to collaborate with other territories people together.
Amazing. I love it. I love your attitude for about collaboration and creative, bringing people from different disciplines together and how that can create new things. It's very inspiring. So, yeah, thank you. Okay, Masai, let's look at your console. So we have Fire Organ, Adobe Illustrator 88, Spaceship Warlock, Flow Phaser, the interactive album, and the Fairlight CMI 2X. this is an amazing console. I don't know how we're going to make it, but it's good. we need a name for your console. What would you like to call it?
The collaborator.
Perfect. That's lovely. Yeah, great. I love the story you tell of Sony coming to you in the mid 90s and really encouraging you and saying, look, you know, we know you're not confident making games, but we appreciate the art you create. Why don't you try it in the video game industry? It seems like it's such a good moment in the history of games, and I don't know if it still happens like that. It's a shame, but amazing. So my last question, Masaya, I think it's sad how Parappa is, you know, gone away a little bit. He's not, you know, there aren't new Parappa games, and we don't see him too much, but Sony has been making films, and there was a Gran Turismo film recently.
Oh.
Do you think... How can we get a Parappa the Rapper film made?
I got several ideas to make the movies for the game already.
Yeah,
but unfortunately, we seems not go forward so far. But
is Rodney up for working with you on this?
Yeah, but. I love to work together again, of course. Yeah.
Mm. So we just need someone at Sony to say, yes, let's do it.
I don't know. The generation has been changed to into a younger people already. So
yeah, but it seems like the character, I don't know, it's timeless. Surely, surely there would be, it would be popular, I'm sure, if they did it. But
I believe, as you said, so many people remember the games and characters and songs for a long time, like 30 years already, almost. So this is the new energy to make something new, I think. Yeah, I'd love to see. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd love to see it too. We all hope it will happen. But either way, thank you, Messiah, for all your work and for talking to me today. It's been an absolute privilege. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you so much to my guest, Messiah Matsura, the Japanese musician and game designer. What an absolute treat that was. I've known Messiah probably for about 15 years or so. The way I made that connection, you'll recall Messiah's first choice of game there was Fire Organ, the Mac OS screensaver, or, you know, so, I guess digital sort of art thing. And Messiah mentioned that he believed that had been created by a Welsh person. And I said, oh, how do you know that? And he said, oh, well, I used to work with someone at my company who was Welsh. Well, I'm friends with that person. That was Dewi Tanner, who speaks Japanese and is a lovely Welsh game developer, producer type person who moved to Tokyo to work for Nano Onsha a while. This is a long time ago now. So I knew Dewi already from the internet, and we were friends. And so through Dewi, I got to first meet Messiah. I think I was in Tokyo I was writing the cover story for Edge magazine about Final Fantasy XIII, if you can remember back that far. And we had a day off, I think. And so I went and visited Nano Onsha's studio because I just wanted to see what it was like. I was a huge fan of their games. And through Dewi, I got to go there and meet Messiah and, you know, see their setup and all of that kind of thing. And I think these days they no longer have that office. And my sense is that Messiah kind of works by himself now, or, you know, with freelance collaborators or whatever. But that was how we made that connection. And now if I am ever lucky enough to visit Tokyo, I try to meet up with Messiah and have a chat. And even so, I did, you know, so much of that conversation, I didn't know. I've never heard about how they found the rapper who played Parappa by going to New York, and that incredible image of them holding the auditions, and then this one rapper doesn't make it to the auditions, and then calls them up on the phone and goes, "I'm just going to rap down the phone to you," and gets hired as a result. Amazing stuff. And then, of course, all of those influences from his choices that just makes so much sense in the light of the games that Messiah went on to make. And as well, you know, I said a little bit at the end there about how I really mourn this lost period in Sony PlayStation's history when the first PlayStation was coming out. And I think, you know, there's some historical context to provide here that I don't think will be that well known to many listeners. So when Ken Kutaragi invented the PlayStation, Sony's sort of TV division didn't really want anything to do with it. And so they handed it over to Sony Music. And Sony Music's executives and teams basically ran the drive of trying to get creators in Japan to make software for the PlayStation. And Sony Music, unlike video game companies, you know, this is the indie days, they understood from their work in the music industry that, you know, you need the big stars, you need the Beyoncés and the U2s and the Taylor Swifts, but, you know, you also need to be investing in tiny little artists at a local level and, you know, drawing them up. And that's how you get creativity. That's how you get a really diverse roster when you're creating a music label. And that's what they wanted to do with the Sony PlayStation. So they went and found these little creative people like Messiah and said, "Hey, have you ever thought about making a PlayStation game?" And that's why if you go back and look at the PlayStation's Japanese list, it is arguably the most creative, the most diverse of any console ever, because you had these people who worked in music going, we're just gonna like get interesting people to make whatever they want to make for our PlayStation. And so you get all these wonderfully unusual little game ideas sprouting up. And Parappa the Rapper is absolutely, you know, one of the huge success stories coming out of that context. And, you know, it changed the industry. You know, of course, like the marketing of the PlayStation in Europe and in the UK towards clubgoers at an older audience, and Wipeout and Tomb Raider and all of that also had a big effect. But so too did this sort of really unusual grassroots flowering of creativity on the Japanese side of things. And it changed the industry in really profound ways. And I'm sorry to say that I don't think, you know, the Sony of today is like that. They closed down Japan studio. They got a much more blockbuster American focus now. Nothing wrong with that. We, you know, we love The Last of Us and those massive games, but, you know, it sort of has just now left those interesting, unusual projects to sort of just sprout up from indie devs wherever they come up, which is fine. But of course, games cost a lot of money to make now, and it's just sad we don't really have that model happening anymore. Anyway, hereth ends the history lesson. But it's one of my bugbears, I think, because it's culture. We create the culture, and the companies making these decisions, they create what video games are, how they're seen by the rest of the world. And if all they're investing in is, you know, expensive shooters with Hollywood plot lines, that's what the culture becomes. And there's nothing wrong with that, but we need variety. We need these other kind of curious experiments to push the medium forward in the ways that Parappa did. We wouldn't have had Guitar Hero and Rock Band. They wouldn't have made the Beatles Rock Band if it hadn't been for Masaya Matsuura making this weird, you know, game for the Pippin tuning glue, which turns into Parappa the Rapper, which begats Guitar Freaks from Konami, which begats Guitar Hero. Then we get Rock Band. We get the Beatles Rock Band, which is just, I think, just this tremendous collaboration between the music industry and the games industry. All of that has its roots in these strange little experiments. That's how it happens. That's how we get an interesting medium. I'll get off my soapbox now. Anyway, what a wonderful talk that was, and I greatly appreciated Masaya going into all of that. How good would it be to see a spectacular Parappa animation or film? That is something that should exist in the world, right? Kind of along the lines of the recent Scott Pilgrim. We had Brian Lee O'Malley on the show. There should be, Netflix should be investing in a Parappa the Rapper cartoon. They just should. I mean, come on, it's a no-brainer. And you know, you got those songs, those characters. Rodney Greenblatt, who I know a bit, I had lunch with him last year, the New York, he's a fine artist, you know, that's the tradition he comes from, but he owns all of the rights to the Parappa characters. It seems like that should happen. If you're listening to this and you work in that industry, just, I mean, come on, it's all on the table. Put it together, it'll work, guaranteed. Okay. So as I'm sure you're aware, quite a few of the tracks that Masaya picked there do not have soundtracks, because of course they are not games with music attached to them. So what I did is I played some of Masaya's music that was relevant to the period at which he was talking. So you heard three tracks there with three of his game choices, in inverted commas. The first one was Introduction, the second one was In the Dark, and the third was No Origin. All three of them come from a 1984 album made by Masaya Matsuura, and I think he this is predominantly used the Fairlight CMI2DX, which was of course his fifth choice. So yeah, you can listen to the whole of that record. It's a wonderful ambient mixtape, I guess. It looks like it was originally produced on cassette. You can listen to that on SoundCloud. I'll put a link to it in the show description, but of course Masaya is on SoundCloud at soundcloud.com/Masaya-Matsuura. One other thing, so since I recorded with Masaya, he emailed me to let me know that the track Pingu Rap, which I played a little clip of, obviously Pingu Rap was a key key moments in Messiah's career. It's just been re-released in Japan on vinyl by Tower Records. Of course, Tower Records is still a going concern in Japan. And yeah, they put out music and they've re-released Pingu Rap. So you can buy a copy of that on vinyl if you're in Japan, or I'm sure you'll be able to import it as well to wherever you live. I'll put a link to that as in the show description, so you can follow that too. If you're enjoying the podcast, then thank you for listening. Thank you for downloading. Go back, delve into our back catalogue. I try and mention, you know, previous episodes lots, because I think there's a real treasure trove of good stuff for you to go back and listen to. You can do that on, you know, whatever, wherever you got this. Head back, listen to some of the great episodes in the podcast past. If you want to support episodes just like this, please do consider becoming a Patreon supporter. You can do that at patreon.com/myperfectconsole, and you will get your episodes early and ad free. You'll get to take part in the My Perfect Console My Game of the Month project. You'll get bonus episodes with that. Later in the year, we'll be doing another knockout competition where we put all of this year's consoles in a head-to-head tournament and then crown the console of the year. You'll get to vote in that in the latter stages if you're a supporter. And anyway, it's just a great way to support what I'm trying to do here, what I'm trying to make, and you know, I guess a little bit of game culture with certain aesthetics that I'm interested in. That's what I'm trying to make. So if you believe in that, thank you for downloading. That's thank you for listening, but also, yeah, consider supporting in other ways, perhaps. Right, who have we got next? So we are now moving into May, the month of May. Where is the year going? Next week we have. It's a bit unusual. We've got a close friend of mine. We've had friends of mine on the podcast before, but this is someone who, you know, like, stays at my house. So it is the novelist and the game journalist Keith Stewart. For many years was the games editor at The Guardian, covering video games for the newspaper, really doing pioneering work there at one of the world's major mainstream outlets covering games, and he now is still very involved in The Guardian's video game coverage, and is also a very fine novelist as well. He's got a new book out, so that's why I've invited him on, Keith Stewart. So it would be wonderful to talk to him, to ask him about the games that have shaped his life, and to hear his story, how he got to today. So yeah, thanks again for listening. I will be back again next week with Keith Stewart, with his five games, and with one more perfect console.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences, whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets. Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone. Ever Googled your own name? Prepare for a shock, because your personal info, including addresses and phone numbers, is out there, especially with the recent hacks at some big phone and healthcare companies. But here's where Aura steps in. Aura scans the dark web for your sensitive information and sends real-time alerts. Aura also actively requests that your information be removed from data broker sites, putting you back in control. Aura provides you with a complete online safety toolkit, credit and transaction monitoring, a secure password manager, a privacy-enhancing VPN, parental controls, and more. Try Aura risk-free with a 14-day trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety. Rest easy with Aura. Visit aura.com/safety today.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.